now for quite a while, and I have been ministering in this realm, and that is in the realm of faith. I believe that God wants us to go up another level of faith. How many can say amen to that? God is not satisfied with our faith, with our level of faith. And I believe that we as a people have not pressed into that area as diligently as God would have us to. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord has really been prompting me and convicting me in this way, that God says, hey, if you are going to be able to do the work that I've called you to do, then you've got to be a people of faith. You see, without faith, we will not accomplish what God has destined for us. God has a destiny for each and every one of our lives. And so my desire in this message is to impart unto us a desire to grow to a higher level of faith. And what I want to talk about is growing in faith by making the appropriate faith declarations. How many know that when we were singing some of these songs tonight, we were making faith declarations? We were making confessions of faith as to who our God is, what our God's ability is towards us. And I believe that God not only wants us to make those kinds of declarations when we're coming into the congregation and worshiping Him and praising Him, but He wants those declarations to be made in our daily walk with Him as we take the time each and every day to worship and praise the Lord. That we confess the victory that we have in Him. That we confess the healing that we have in Him. That we confess the inheritance that we have in Him. And you know what happens as we begin to confess those things and declare those things? That faith becomes more and more embedded into our hearts. And we actually begin to believe it. And what I'm talking about tonight is not confessing something that's beyond the Word, but simply bringing your confession into alignment with what God's Word has already said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 13, "But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written," Paul says, "I believed, and therefore I spoke." He says, "I believed, and therefore I spoke." And he says, "We also believe, and therefore we speak." That's what I'm talking about tonight. Faith confession. I believed, and therefore I spoke. God wants you to speak and declare the things that you believe in your heart. How many know that a lot of us speak and say things that are contrary to what we actually believe? And we make ourselves out to be a liar. We speak things that are doubt, unbelief, things that are not really in our heart, but we speak them out of laziness. We speak them out of apathy. And I believe that, you know, in Christendom, there's a lot of controversies that go on in the church. In the faith realm is a controversy. There's been extremes. People confessing things, you know, you get into this hyper thing. I'm not talking about that. But I tell you what happens to us as a people sometimes is we react to extremes. And even though we believe something and we do seemingly have the center of balance on what we believe, in our actions, we're actually going away. And I'm trying to bring us back to where I believe God wants us to be in our faith. And so I'm going to talk about confession. I believe, and therefore I spoke. And so tonight in this message, I want to show us some biblical examples of persons who have walked in great levels of faith. People who have been heroes of our faith. Simply because they understood this principle. I believed, and therefore I spoke. What do you believe? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the mighty working of God's Spirit? Do you believe that God is able to heal? Do you believe that God is able to perform miracles? Do you believe that God is able to bring you into a place of an inheritance that He has already given unto you? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Then why do we act contrary? Why do we speak contrary to that? Do we find ourselves speaking doubt and unbelief more than we find ourselves making faith declarations? You need to ask yourself tonight, do I spend more time speaking doubt and unbelief than I do in making faith declarations concerning what God is able to do for me? You see, what will happen if we have a continuous pattern, and I'm not of the belief that if I say one thing negative that I'm going to reap something there. But I'll tell you what, if something begins to become a pattern, if I begin to develop a pattern of unbelief, a pattern of speaking negative, then there's a consequence that will be reaped as a result of that. But if I begin to develop a pattern of speaking faith and the things that God has already said that belong to me, then I'm going to begin to walk in those things to a greater degree than what I already do. See, I believe that faith and confession, belief, it's kind of like a reciprocal process. They continually feed on each other, reinforce each other. The more I begin to confess and speak the things that God has said in His Word, it begins to impart a greater degree of belief in my heart. You see, our faith comes forth out of a heart of belief. And our confession comes forth out of a heart of belief. Otherwise, it's presumption. And I don't want to enter into presumption. And I believe a lot of Christians walk in presumption because their belief system has not been established in the degree that God has desired. And so by making faith declarations or by simply speaking that which we believe, I believe that we will find that it actually reinforces our faith and releases it in a manner that gets results. How many want more results than what you've been getting?
Amen.
Didn't Jesus say that your prayers would be answered? Didn't Jesus say if you ask for it, you will receive it? Then why is it that we don't receive? Is it God's fault? I don't believe it is. God has already given it to us. God's already given to you everything that you're ever going to have. He can't do anything more. It's up to you. It's up to you to receive it. It's up to you to take it by faith. To receive it by faith. To receive the things that God has given to you. Doesn't the Bible say in Peter that we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness? In other words, God says, I've given you everything that you're ever going to need to get along in this life. He says, you've got it. It's yours. It belongs to you. And so, you know, part of our problem is, when it comes to faith, we have to discern the will of God. See, if I'm confused as to what the will of God is concerning something, then it's hard for me to release faith in that direction. But if I understand and know what the will of the Lord is, then faith can be released. Let's read Matthew 11 and verse 22, because this has always been kind of a stumbling block of the Scripture to me. I believe the Lord this afternoon gave me revelation on this. And it'll all come forth as we go through this message tonight. In Mark, did I say Matthew? Mark 11, 22. It says, So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, let's say, I'm just going to look at that scripture, and I'm going to say, the Sierra Mountains are out there. The Bible says that I have faith to remove those mountains. All I have to do is go out and speak to the mountains, and they're going to be removed. How many know that if I did that, those mountains would stay there? You know why? There's a progression that has to go on in our confession to get to that place. And I want to talk about that progression tonight, how that works. And so the key to having this kind of ability is to discern the difference between faith and presumption. See, it would be presumptuous for me to speak to the mountain, because God hasn't birthed that faith in my heart at this point to do that. I don't believe that I could do it. Hey, I'm one of those guys that's not afraid to say, "I don't have enough faith to be healed." I don't get offended over that. A lot of people get offended when they think that they don't have enough faith to do something. The Bible says we're to think soberly as to where we are, not to exalt ourselves and think more highly of ourselves, but to understand where we are at in our faith before God. How can we even begin to grow in faith if we haven't taken a proper examination and evaluation of where our level of faith is at? But the key is discerning the difference between faith and presumption. And so as we go through this message tonight, I want to show you the difference and be able to apply this principle of faith in our lives. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. I believe that one of the major keys that we find in all of this, or all of the people that have gone before us, the heroes of faith, is that they were people who were assured in their hearts. They were people who were convinced that what God said, he was able to do. They believed in God. They believed in his word. They didn't take God to be a deceitful person, a liar. But they took him at his word. God says, "You can do this." And they said, "Okay, I'll do it. I'll believe it." But Romans 4 and verse 20, we find the illustration here of Abraham. And I want to bring this principle out and apply it to the different ones that I'm going to share with you tonight. But I believe this is a very important principle here. It says Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced — that's the key right there — being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Let me ask you tonight, are you fully convinced that God is able to give you the necessary things for this life? Isn't that a promise that belongs to you, that belongs to me, And he says, I'll give you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's a promise. And there's many, many wonderful promises in the Word of God. God has promised to heal us. And so we have to be fully convinced that God is able to do that. We have to be fully convinced in our hearts and assured in our hearts that what God has said He can do, that He'll do it. That's where it starts. That's faith. You can't release faith until you're fully convinced in your hearts. You see, faith, belief, and confession all work together. You must have all three of these elements working in your lives for your faith to be released. You must be fully convinced before your faith can be released. And I believe that there are many, many, many wonderful things that God has already said that belong to us, that we can have if we will only believe. And so I have to believe. I have to trust God. God said it, then okay, it's true. And then I have to decide, I'm going to be fully convinced in my heart. I've got to get God's Word in my heart. How do I get God's Word in my heart? I begin to confess it. I begin to say it. I say, oh, thank you, Lord, for these wonderful things that you've given to me in my praise and my worship. I begin to make those declarations of faith. And more and more as I do that, it reinforces the conviction of my belief in my heart. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 tells us, you don't need to turn there, but it says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. See, without wavering. I cannot afford to waver. The double-minded man will not receive from the Lord. Every time I begin to get double-minded, I have to go back to the Scriptures and I have to get the Scriptures out and I have to meditate on them so that they'll get in my heart. And let me say this. I was just thinking about this today. You see, I don't think I'll get sick as often if I'm continually making declarations that I'm healed in the Lord. See, if I walk in that every day, God, thank you for healing me, Lord. Thank you for giving me your health, Lord. Thank you for giving me divine inspiration, Lord. Thank you, God, for these wonderful things that you've given to me. I tell you, it's hard to get healed when you're sick. I have a tendency to just give up. I mean, I fight in the beginning process, but once that sickness settles in, it's like, oh well, I'll just sit and take it. Hey, you do the same thing. Sure. Let's look at some examples here. I want to look at Abraham first. Abraham is called the father of our faith. He's a tremendous example of how we are to live our faith. We find in Genesis 17 where God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant. He says, Abraham, look at the stars. He says, your descendant shall be as the stars in heaven. He says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And he says in Genesis 17 and verse 21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. He said, I want you to hear that. He says, my covenant is going to be established with Isaac. And God says, I cannot alter or change the thing that I have spoken. You see, that's the thing we need to get registered into our hearts tonight, is God cannot alter His covenant. His covenant has been sealed in blood. And He can't change it. He submitted to it. He was submitted to the covenant that He established with Abraham. And He says, Abraham, Isaac is going to be the one to carry on this covenant. He is going to be the one that I'm going to establish my covenant with. And so we find in Genesis chapter 22 where God tests the faith of Abraham. He says, Abraham, take your only son. Take your son, Isaac. And he says, I want you to go and sacrifice him. What he's saying is, he says, I want you to go and kill him. And so Abraham obeyed. But I'll tell you what, Abraham knew all along the covenant that God had established with him, didn't he? Because when Abraham got to that place, when he got to the mountain, when he began to, he had a lot of his servants with him. And he made a confession of faith right there. When he was about ready to leave his servants and him and Isaac were going to trek on up into the mountain to make the sacrifice, Abraham made a bold confession of faith. And it was based on the covenant that God had established with him. And what he said was this in Genesis 22 and verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. And the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. He says, we will come back to you. That is a confession of faith. He says, we will come back to you. Now, what is he basing his confession on? What is he basing his belief on? And you need to hear this tonight. He's basing it on the covenant that God made with him. Now, God has made a covenant with us. The new covenant, the New Testament has been sealed in his blood. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there is a lot of benefits that come along with that covenant. And then again, we find Abraham in verse 8. Isaac is beginning to wonder what's going on. He says, I see the fire. I see these things. He says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Abraham forgot to tell him, you're the sacrifice, son. But listen to this. Abraham didn't know at that time there was a lamb in the thicket. He didn't know that. He said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. A declaration of faith. A confession of faith. Now, is that presumption? Was Abraham being presumptuous? He wasn't being presumptuous because he knew that God had already promised him. He was standing on the promise of the covenant. Now, this is another example. I've used this one before, but I want to use it again. Actually, I've used most of these examples before in different ways. But how many know it helps to rehear some of these things sometimes? And this is the example of Jonathan and his armor bearer. I find this one very interesting because you see the progression of confession. You see the progression of faith in this. You see, Jonathan, to begin with, now this is the time where, you know, Saul has got his armies, they're all ready to go for the Philistines, but nothing's happening. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer decide, we're going to make something happen here. We're going to take off on our own and we're going for the garrison. And so they begin to go on this trek by themselves, you know, and they've got courage working in their hearts and they know something about God. They're not sure exactly what they're doing, how it's going to come out. They're taking a step of faith on what they know about their God. And that's where we start. See, we know certain things about God, don't we? And so what we know about God, in a general sense, we can begin to step out in faith in that realm. Now watch the progression here. This is in 1 Samuel 14. In verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised." He says, "It may be. It may be. It just might be that the Lord will work for us." For nothing restrains the Lord from saving many or few. You see what Jonathan is basing his faith on at this point? He understands that God has unlimited power. And Jonathan knows that much about God, that God, if he wants to, can do it. But he's still not quite sure that God is going to do it for him. And so his confession is a reality confession. It's not a confession of presumption. And that's where people blow it. You see, Jonathan wasn't at the level of belief yet to confess beyond that. He's simply, at this point, confessing where he is at. He says, "This I know about God. He might be able to do something for us." Because we know that God is able to work. And so what happens, Jonathan and his armor bearer make this kind of an agreement. If when the Philistines see them, if they do this, I'm not going to get into the whole story. You know, we'll take it as a confirmation. And so they stepped out in faith, looking for confirmation. And what happened was, they got their confirmation. And so what happened as a result of that? What are they doing? They're going from faith to faith, aren't they? That's how we go from faith to faith. We step out on what we know in faith, and God confirms it, and then we step out a little bit deeper. It says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith in Romans 1:17. Now we find in verse 12 here that God confirms his will to Jonathan, and as a result, he makes another declaration of faith that is much stronger than the original one. It says in verse 12, "Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, 'Come up to us, and we will show you something.'" That was the confirmation that Jonathan was looking for. And so Jonathan, full of courage, full of faith, full of belief, he could have stopped right there, couldn't he? He could have, but he didn't. He was encouraged. He was bolstered in his faith. And so now he goes a little bit further. He says, "Come after me." Now listen to this. "For the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." He says the victory has already been accomplished. The Lord has delivered. You see, he's not making a confession out of presumption. God has confirmed that into his heart. He's fully convinced of that now. You see, he believes that. And so he's able to speak the word of faith. He's able to speak the right confession. And his armor bearer is right there with him. And most of us know the story. There was a great victory that day. But that caused the defeat of their enemies. Now, let's look at another example. David. How many know that there are a lot of general things in the Word that we stake our faith on? But sometimes we get out there in doing the will of God, and we're now into an area where there's nothing really specific in the Word to direct us. Now we need further revelation from God's Spirit to finish the job. And that's what happened here with David when he went before Goliath. David has three things working for him. In 1 Samuel 17, David was able to make a strong confession of faith regarding the defeat of Goliath because he too knew what God was able to do. He knew what God was able to do. He had already experienced victory by the hand of God. He had already tasted a victory. He already had tasted a victory in God and knowing what it was like to be led by the Spirit and to walk in faith. And so David is not a beginner in a sense when he's going after Goliath. He's not a novice at this. He's been out there working with the sheep and chasing lions and bears and depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver him. And so he has an experience of faith that is also working for him. But there's another element in this story that David has working for him. And that is, as he comes up and he finds his brothers, and he finds all the men of Israel, the army of Israel, are gathered around, and this giant comes on the scene. And he begins to, you know, just mock the army of God. The army of Israel. He begins to poke fun at them. And David says, "Who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is to defy the armies of the living God?" You see, I believe what happened to David right there that gave him the faith to go forward and to make the confession that he did was this, is that he got a special revelation from God how he was to fit into that whole scenario. That he had such a relationship with his Lord. And he was able to see the big picture. He was able to see the plan of God being unraveled before his mind. And he saw himself as the one that God had chosen to go forth and kill the giant. He saw that in the Spirit. He was a man of wisdom. He was a man of discernment. Stepping out in a heart that was fully convinced of what his God was able to do for him in that situation. He saw the revelation. And there was nothing in the Word to direct him specifically into that battle. You see, I want to be very, very careful in saying this. The Word is an instruction manual to us. It's a guidebook to us. And anything that we do must always be in accordance to the Word. I'll tell you what. There's a place where the Spirit of God has to lead us. If we want to experience victory. If we want to experience faith. And that's what's happening with David here. In verse 26... I already spoke all that where David said, "Who's going to defy? This guy's defying the armies of Israel." But in verse 37, listen to this. David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go. And the Lord be with you." There was one happy king. Because I believe Saul perceived the faith and the confidence and the assurance that was in David's heart. Otherwise, he wouldn't have allowed him to go. David simply believed, and therefore he spoke. Now, the final example I want to give you is Paul. In Acts 27, Paul's confession is based on unfulfilled prophecy in his life. Paul had been told that he was going to witness in Rome before the king or the emperor or whoever he was. And here he is on a ship that's about ready to go under. And an angel appears to him. That helps him out. Good to have the angels on your side. And so it says in verse 23, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar.' And indeed, God has granted to you all those who will sail with you. And so Paul says to all his shipmates, he says, take heart, men, for I believe. There it is. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. That was his confession. What was it based on? What the Spirit or the angel? Spirit had told him previously on many occasions. Here the angel's reaffirming it. Of what his commission, what his calling was. You see, if I know in my heart. Now listen to me. Some of you may not be able to receive this. But if you can't, just let it go. But if I know in my heart that I have not fulfilled God's plan and His purpose for my life, then there are certain confessions and declarations of faith that I can make because of that when there are overwhelmingly situations that come my way, even death, danger, whatever it may be. Do you hear what I said? I believe that with all my heart. I believe that when we get that into our heart, there is a level of faith that comes into us that is unshakable. Now, as we conclude, we've been given many wonderful and precious promises in God's Word. We've got many things that have been made available to each and every one of us. Things that have been covenanted to us through His covenant. Things that have been established. And I believe that God wants us to declare these things continually so that our belief system will become stronger and stronger and stronger. And quit speaking doubt and unbelief and speaking against the Word. But speak what the Word has already said. Speak what the Word has already guaranteed you, and let your praise be filled with. In our praise and our worship before God, we should continually declare and confess the power and the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. The healing that we have in Jesus Christ. The blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. The inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. Because He has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 once again. But since we have the same spirit of faith as who? All these people we just looked at. As we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So what do? We base our faith confession on the covenant God has established with us, being fully convinced that what He has promised, He is able to perform. When God gives us confirmation to go on, we speak that confirmation. We go on in faith. And then we must be open to seeing the situation through God's perspective. Let me share something with you. Ephesians 1 and verse 17, where it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? That you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is this exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? You see, there's a place of faith that you cannot come to without the revelation knowledge of God's Spirit. That's the progression. And there may be a situation where God brings me into because I've gone along through this progression and now I've gotten to this place where, hey, it may not be a mountain, but it might be something else that I become firmly convinced in my heart that I am able to speak and see it removed. Because I've followed through in this progression of speaking and saying and confessing and declaring God's word. And then we make confessions based on unfulfilled prophecy in our lives. But remember, you have to be convinced. Otherwise, it's foolish presumption. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. God, help us to digest this. God, help us to take this. And have it to be work in our hearts and our spirits. God, that we might see your glory. That we might be filled with the revelation of your Spirit, God, when those times come for us to walk in that realm. That we may see your plan unfold before our eyes and see our part in that plan just as David did. Know that you have placed that in our lives. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen.